Welcome to the December 13th virtual service of the Unitarian Universalist Congregation in Blacksburg, Virginia. The service is led by our minister, Reverend Pam Phillips, and worship associate, Kimberly Homer. The title of Rev. Pam's homily is Be Still and Know.
Good morning. I'm Reverend Pam Phillips, and I am delighted to join you from this festively decorated space here on Gladewood Drive in Blacksburg, Virginia. So glad that you are with us today.
Welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Congregation of the New River Valley, where we share a mission to inspire, create, and transform. I'm Kimberly Homer, and I'm happy to be weaving worship with Rev. Pam today. If you are here with us for the first time, we are so glad you found us, and we would like to get to know you better. You'll find a link to the virtual visitor's card, thank you, Isabel, in the chat. And you can fill it out if you'd like us to keep in touch with you. We invite you to stay after the service for our virtual coffee hour. We'll go to breakout rooms for a chance to meet in smaller groups for conversation. There are also many opportunities to meet virtually or on the grounds throughout the week. Look at the calendar on our website for times and Zoom links. Thanks to all the volunteers who make all of these activities possible. If you have a joy or a sorrow you'd like shared aloud this morning, you'll find a link in the chat. Thank you again, Isabel and Akiko, to fill out as well.
I'd like to lift up a couple of announcements. And I just want to lift up that Akiko and Lisa and Isabel are our virtual ushers today. And you all don't know all the work that they do, but thank you so much for helping us make these worship services work. So some things that are going on. Today at 1 o'clock, the anti-racism discussion group meets. Today is also the last day to participate in our holiday market. So if you have not yet gone to the site, there's still some beautiful crafts and decorations and some delicious food items. You have until, I think, 11:59 tonight to bid on those. Also, thanks to all of you who have already sent in your beautiful holiday decorations. We're collecting photographs so that we can share them during our Christmas Eve service. So I encourage you to do that. We're also going to have a sign up for our evening labyrinth walks in the last week of December. Because of the new COVID restrictions, we want to make sure that we don't have too many people at a time. So look in the announcements for the link to sign up to walk the labyrinth in the evenings between Christmas and New Year's. And thank you so much to the Grounds Ministry for helping us put that on. And I also want to remind you that you can still participate in the reverse Advent calendar that our religious educator, Karen Hager, put together. So again, you can find this in the announcements, but there's a list of different items that you can add, one each day to a basket or a box, and then after Christmas, take it either here or to the Interfaith Food Pantry so that we can help those in our neighbors who are less fortunate. And now I'd like to invite Karen Hager, our Director of Lifespan Faith Development, to share some news about religious education.
Hi Hi, everyone. Don't forget that next week is our annual holiday multi-generational service featuring our no rehearsal holiday pageant. You don't want to miss this, so be sure and join us next Sunday. Also, for those in the Buddy Project, you'll finally get to meet your buddies next Sunday at our online buddy party. Watch your email this week for more details.
Now here's what the kids have been up to in RE. Last week, our preschool class read the storybook Stick Man and made their own stick people. Today, we read Llama Llama Holiday Drama and are making no drama holiday ornaments. Our K-5 class watched the Pixar short Party Swords Rex, talked about responsibility, and made bubbling bath salts. They also took some selfies as Rex from Toy Story. Today, we watched Olaf's Frozen Adventure, discussed family holiday traditions, and have a whole bunch of Olaf activities to occupy our morning. And last week, our middle school class watched The Simpsons episode, Lisa the Skeptic, and talked about faith. Next week, we'll watch The Joy of Sect and discuss cults. Don't forget to join us next week for our very special multi-generational service featuring the No Rehearsal Holiday Pageant.
And now, let's kindle the flame of community. I invite you to light a candle or a chalice at home as we light the chalice in the sanctuary, and the Ryan and Tanya Brudenbachi light one in their home.
We light this chalice for the warmth of welcome, the light of hope, and the fire of service.
Today is the third day, the third Sunday of Advent, but I also want to acknowledge that Hanukkah, we are in the midst of Hanukkah, so as we light candles today, we remember all those who are lighting the candles each evening for the celebration of Hanukkah. But today, I'd like to share these words from the Reverend Erica Hewitt. She writes, "Advent is a season of waiting, of expectation, and of longing. On this third Sunday of Advent, we light one more candle on our wreath, the pink candle that represents joy. How is it, you might wonder, that we could celebrate joy when there's also so much suffering in the world? Isn't that contradictory? It's an act called the not yet known. Advent is a season of watchfulness. We listen and keep vigil for the promise of things to come. We speak and sing about the promise of the not yet manifest, as reflected in the words of familiar hymns, O come, Emmanuel. People look east, the time is near. Love, the guest is on the way. There's a star in the east, it will lead you. These are the songs of hopeful, of songs of faith. These hymns encourage us to enter and consent to the practice of opening to possibility. Joy is one of the qualities that, if not yet present within us, will come to us in its own time. This joy, light of joy, then, doesn't require that you experience joy now, today, in your immediate surroundings. Instead, it's a reminder to wait for it with faithfulness that overshadows pain and cynicism. May the lighting of this candle bring us patience, grant us faith, and draw us closer to joy."
Each week, UUCNRV donates half of the offering to a local charity or UU-affiliated organization. This week's recipient at our virtual service is Seeds, whose mission is to inspire a natural curiosity and love for the environment in children and the young at heart through discovery learning, nature education, teacher support, and civic awareness. Seeds is located in downtown Blacksburg and also offers many programs. Please see the screen and the order of service for ways to give. And join me in reading these words. We accept these offerings in support of our congregation and our larger community, recognizing always that in giving and receiving, we participate in a circle of care with no beginning and no end.
And now please join us in reading our congregational covenant led by the president of UUC, Wayne New.
Covenant to create a place of respect and kindness and to build a spiritual community based on reason and courageous love. We will listen to one another respectfully, assume good intentions, use the power of our words with care, express gratitude, honor our differences, help one another, and welcome all. We will communicate directly, honestly, and compassionately. When we hurt one another, we will forgive, make amends, and reconnect. While we celebrate the words of our mission statement and of this covenant, we affirm that our mission lives through our actions.
Some of you know that I follow the Maya calendar, and we're in the water time wave now, which is a chance to surrender to and be connected by the river of life. When I read the title for this morning's service, Be Still and Know I Am God, I remembered a Zen garden the children at Christ Episcopal Church could take down from a shelf in the atrium, removing words one at a time and wondering about them. The atrium was a sacred place where we removed our shoes before entering and spent some time settling ourselves before gathering in a circle of cushions on the floor to hear that week's story. The storyteller did not make eye contact, and this allowed the children to see the story objects, a box of sand, a stalk of wheat, or a figure representing Ruth, perhaps, in their own way. The stories often began, "The desert is a dangerous place." And in so beginning, the children understood the importance of hospitality and that our tea ceremony was more than a snack. After hearing that week's story, the children had work time to move the pieces of that week's story or some other story that called to them. I would not have expected that the heavenly host of noisy children coming into the space could dwell so quietly, but they did. I don't have a sand garden, but Gwyneth made a representation of it for me. Here it is. Be still and know I am God. Be still and know I am. Be still and know. Be still. Be. This week, I was trying to arrange care for my daughter who has a chronic and life-threatening illness. And there was a lot of uncertainty around how to get a COVID test, whether care was available, whether I should neglect my mountain of work responsibilities, whether I should decorate for Christmas, which would mean moving all the boxes I brought home from campus when we began working from home. I've been meaning to paint the walls. Should I do that before I put up a Christmas tree? Is it even safe to go get one? Be still. Be. And I wondered if perhaps God is not toppling mountains or raging water or melting earth. Perhaps God is a small creature in the briars, afraid to come out to eat. Be still, be. So we got a Christmas tree at Crow's Nest, and Gwyneth put lights on it, and in the glow of those lights, you can't see the paint anyway. The cat curled up on the chair by the tree and slept.
When I first envisioned this service, I had a different title in mind. Not be still and know that I am God, but just be still and know. I thought that some of you, perhaps many of you, might be turned off by the rest of the part, the phrase, the God part. but would be just fine with knowing. We love acquiring knowledge and aspiring to gain wisdom here. Last year, our Conversations on Faith group read a book titled God, the Most Unpleasant Character in All of Fiction. It was pretty clear that folks agreed with the author and would react negatively to God's directive, Psalm 46. Be still and know that I am God. To be honest, a few years ago, I'd be right there with them. I was a teenager and young adult when I started telling my grandmother that I didn't believe in God. At least the God I'd learned about in my Episcopal Sunday school classes, that sound nothing like the ones that Kimberly taught, and my Congregationalist confirmation class. That white-bearded old man in the sky God, who, like Santa in the song, sees me when I'm sleeping and knows when I'm awake. The judgmental and angry God who condemns not just bad behavior, but bad people, who would reserve heaven for only his favorites and condemn the rest to hell. Why would anyone want to believe in that God? I didn't know about universalism and the notion of universal salvation back then. Does that story resonate with anyone? Anyone else raised to believe in God, but lost that belief? Lost your faith? And yet, going back to Psalm 46 to get the context of the phrase, be still and know that I am God, helped me realize that my first reaction was colored by my aversion toward the God I left behind as a youth. Be still. That sounds like a command, doesn't it? But the study Bible in our library at home translates be still as relax, stop. Be calm. Likewise, Lisa Apello writes, the instruction to be still in Hebrew means to let go, stop striving, slacken, and let drop. It's a picture of loosening our clenched grip on the circumstances and outcome and trusting God. Be still is not a command. It is an assurance that we are not alone, that we don't need to take on the troubles of the world on our own, that we can trust in something larger than ourselves. This is a more appealing way of understanding God, isn't it? This is the characteristic of God that my grandmother wished for me. A God I could trust to help me through the rough patches of my life. So, in whom or in what can we trust? Trust enough to be still, to relax and be calm, let go, stop striving. We who are accustomed to being in control, to holding tight. In whom or in what do you place your trust? What helps you to relax and be calm, to let go and stop striving? Might we discover that source by being still? It would seem so, according to the voices of many traditions. Dhyamata, a disciple of the yogi Paramahansa Yogananda, said, stillness is the first proof of God's presence. Saint Teresa of Avila, I don't know how to say that, said, you need not go to heaven to see God. Nor need you speak loud as if God were far away. Nor need you cry for wings like a dove to fly to him. Only be in silence. and you will come upon God within yourself. Unitarian Universalist minister Angela Rivera writes, "Beneath the hustle and bustle, beneath the stream of thoughts that clamors and chatters over the landscape of our interior world, beneath our habits of momentum and stirring, there is a stillness, deep and peaceful, the place where creation begins. Who lives there? We know her by many names: truth, love, God, wisdom. Be still. Be still and know." In the song we just heard, "Turning Toward the Light," we were invited to be still and know, be still and know the calling of our hearts. We talked about that last week, about creating opportunities for stillness so that we could clean up our inner lives, so that we could sit still long enough to find out what moves us most, to recall where our truest happiness lies, to know the calling of our hearts, to listen for and hear the still small voice within. But whose voice is it? The still small voice comes from the Hebrew Bible, from the book 1 Kings, when Elijah was waiting to hear from God, but the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake, and after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire, a still, small voice. Only then did Elijah hear God's voice. The voice of the divine comes to Elijah not from loud, cataclysmic events, but in a delicate, whispering voice, in stillness. Whose voice? God, truth, love, mystery, source of all being, spirit of life, nature, the universe, quantum physics. I won't pretend to be able to answer that question for you, but I will suggest that when we seek stillness and listen to that voice, we have the opportunity to know in ways we cannot when our mind is full of noise, the noise of other people's opinions and expectations, the noise of our own doubts and anxieties. I said earlier that as a youth, I had given up on God. But through the years since then, I've come to realize that the understanding of God that I learned as a child, that God described in that book, The Conversations on Faith Group, read last year, is not the only way of conceiving of the holy or the divine. That I can, and I do, turn towards something greater than myself in moments of need, when I realize that I am not in control, when I must have faith that life will carry on with or without my intervention. While I believe that we all carry the spark of the divine within us, as Teresa of Avila said, only be in silence and you will come upon God within yourself. I also believe that I am not God and that I can let go, stop striving, and be still. I am reminded of this most when I am faced with fear or loss. when I find myself saying, please let them be okay. Please let them be okay. Please let them be okay. It's the most basic sort of prayer, isn't it? To whom am I speaking? But I'm also reminded of this when I'm faced with wonder and awe at the miracle of life and the beauty of creation. When I am filled with gratitude and inspiration. When I am still. When I am still and know. Our meditation hymn reminds us that the dark of winter is a time when we can find that quiet calm, when our souls may hear a voice, a still, small voice of love eternal. And this is a season of waiting, of expectation and of longing for new hope and possibility. In our closing hymn, People Look East, a song for Advent. That hope is named love. Love the guest. Love the rose. Love the star. We are encouraged to prepare, to make our houses fair as we are able, trim the hearth and set the table for love the guest. Whether you celebrate Christmas or not, we can all prepare ourselves for encounters with the holy, encounters with the divine, for that which is bigger than us, that in which we can place our trust and faith and hope. As we sing our final hymn and listen to the prayer after, I invite you to consider the still small voice you hear, by whatever name you know it, and how you might better listen for it. Be still. Be still and know. In the spirit of Advent, of being still and knowing, whatever is your understanding of God, the divine, the holy, I share this prayer by the Reverend Austin Fleming. Spirit of the living God, turn our faces to the east to look for your presence. Turn our faces in any and every direction from which you draw near to us. Teach us to look for you in places we would not expect to find you. Teach us to find you in places so well known to us that we now fail to see you there. Help us to see you in every guest we entertain. Let the beauty of a rose, of any bloom, reveal your presence to us. Let every bird who wings across the sky above remind us of the freedom that is ours. Let every star in the heavens be a light in the darkness of our lonely nights. Never let us forget that you are love, and that those who abide in love abide in you. Teach us to look east, sweet mystery, and north and south and west, that we might find you in every place we look, including within ourselves. Amen, and blessed be. And now we will extinguish our chalice. But not the light of truth, the warmth of community, or the fire of commitment. Let us carry those with us in our hearts until we are together again.